702. The World View with Adam Gilchrist.
Life is busy elsewhere on the planet. Let's catch up now with Adam Gilchrist. Adam, a very good morning to you. I mean, accurately, I suppose it's not quite the George Floyd murder trial, as we're all calling it, because, of course, George Floyd is the victim here. But there were some key moments on day two of testimony.
Absolutely, yeah. In particular, four witnesses coming forward. One was rather testy with a defense lawyer and was told off by the judge for being testy. One in particular, I think, resonated, Darnella Fraser, in that she was the woman, the young woman. She was only 18 at the time. In fact, I think she was 17 at the time, but 18 now. She took the video that we've all seen, the pictures of George Floyd under the knee of Derek Chauvin. They were her pictures that went viral around the world and used by news sources. And she is not alone in this as well, has already expressed regret that she didn't try to intervene, that she didn't do more at the time. I think it would be pretty hard to put any blame at all on a 17-year-old when there were police officers standing about and other bystanders, lots of people walking past perhaps who didn't know what was going on. But still, we also know it wasn't 8 minutes and 46 seconds, that famous sort of slogan that's gone around the world, 8:46. It was 9:29. It was 9 minutes and 29 seconds. I mean, what difference does it make? It meant that it was even longer that George Floyd suffered the agony and the torture that he went through. And some of that has already begun to come out, that pain that he was in. And some of the witnesses have expressed the pain that they knew he was under as he lost breath and fought for life. And it's an extraordinary trial in all sorts of ways. The world attention on it is going to put an awful lot of pressure on the jury, made up of 15 people to start with. Because of the pandemic and fears that people may drop out through illness, they've had two alternates already sit in. I think one of the 15 might have left, but still, they're trying to take no chances and have mistrials and so forth.
I wonder if they'll all be able to cast a vote. You could also argue that it's not just Derek Chauvin on trial, but it's indeed America itself on trial. Adam, let's talk now about the pandemic and, I suppose, viruses in the future. 23 world leaders say we need some kind of pandemic treaty.
Absolutely that. They've talked about how the current pandemic has posed the greatest challenge for the global community since the late 1940s, in other words, since the end of the Second World War. A joint letter published around the world, your leader, my leader, plus Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, all sorts of world leaders are in there. There are some interesting ones who aren't. The US, for instance, you'd almost sort of think, is that Donald Trump? No, it's Joe Biden. Why has he not signed up to this? Anyway, the United States, China, which is rather a crucial one if you consider where this whole damn thing began, and Russia, the three of them have not signed the letter, nor Japan, which is another key player in all of this. But still, I suppose it's better that people are talking about it and committing to some kind of action plan for the future. I think that's the idea. It's better to talk about it than not to talk about it, but still, a pandemic treaty of any kind really isn't going to be worth an awful lot if you don't have at least two out of America, China, Russia, and Japan on board.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that the most powerful nations in the world are the ones that are not signing up to this. Right, tell me about this British teenager. What an amazing story, back from the dead.
Yeah, it's one of those that you don't quite believe. You think, really? Is this tabloid nonsense? No, apparently not. A young guy called Lewis Roberts, he was hit in a car crash, hit by a van, in fact, as he was walking along through the town of Leek in Staffordshire. He was in a really bad way. He was air ambulanced to a hospital. And after a week or two, he was declared brain dead, brain stem dead, which is rather a crucial thing. And, I mean, awful for the family who had gathered round, and they were basically told, go and say your goodbyes. They had also agreed that young Lewis would donate his organs, so he would help seven other people through various parts of his body being sent around the hospital. So it was rather crucial, the timing of it all. The family went to say goodbye, and his sister sat there holding his hand as he was on the ventilator, on the life support machine. And after a little while, she thought she'd give it a go. So she just said to her brother, 1, 2, 3, breathe. And he did, on his own, without the ventilator. She tried again to no avail, and again and again, and eventually she tried again, and he did. So two crucial things there. He was breathing on his own, albeit intermittently.
Yeah.
And two,
yeah,
he was responding to the instruction, and indeed has since been blinking and twitching and showing clear signs that if something is said to him, he understands it. So hours away from organ donation and death and burial and you name it, and it's not quite a happy end. He's not quite walking out of the hospital yet, but still, he's still on this planet, which is extraordinary.
I've heard amazing stories, Adam, where families have been told, look, this is, we've done all we can. On day X, we think we might switch off the life support. We might switch off the machines. Come and say your last goodbyes. And as the family and the loved ones are there speaking to the person presumed unable to return, something happens. Something happens. And it's just perhaps just one of those examples where you cannot give up too quickly, at least. Adam Gilchrist, always a pleasure to chat to you. We'll see you tomorrow.